that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting out of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord, of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask once again, you'll bless now this Bible study this morning as we study the book of 2 Timothy. Give us wisdom and give us understanding. Bless our time now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, we've been studying through the books of the Bible. Now we're on the book of 2 Timothy. If you remember a little bit of our study last week, the book of 1 Timothy told primarily concerning the church, gave us information concerning the running of the church, the ministry within the church, and it was basically from the pastor's point of view. Kind of gave the ministry of the church from the pastor's point of view. We call this a pastoral epistle. Paul was writing to young Timothy, who was a pastor of the church at Ephesus. He had written this first letter to him, called 1 Timothy, to Timothy while he was pastoring that church. And so he told him some things concerning the ministry of the church from the pastor's point of view, how the pastor ought to look at the ministry of the church and what the pastor ought to do within the church. And of course, it's good for the church also to see the ministry of the local church. So this is called a pastoral epistle. 1 Timothy was the first of those pastoral epistles, and now 2 Timothy is the second of the pastoral epistles, or those epistles concerning the ministry of the church from the pastor's point of view. It is also the last epistle written by Paul. Now, we've studied many of them already. We've studied epistles written to the churches. We've studied the prison epistles. Now we're studying the pastoral epistles. And Paul, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, and the man who God had chosen to write much of the New Testament, now is about to die. And he writes the very last words that he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. That is the book of 2 Timothy. Therefore, it's more than just an epistle or more than just a pastoral epistle, but it's actually a very personal epistle from Paul. And we get a good view of sitting there at his deathbed and basically getting the last words of Paul before he dies. It's interesting. If you go through the last words of people and listen to some of the last lines that people have made just before they die, you get a good idea of their thoughts and their philosophies then. When a person knows they're going to die, just before they die, you get a good idea of what they believe, and what they think, and what their philosophy is, just before they die. It's easy to say a lot of things. It's easy to say you love Jesus when there's nobody standing in front of you with a sword ready to chop off your head. We find out what a person really thinks just before they die. They're on their deathbed. We'll find out really what's in a person's heart. We'll look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look in, for instance, verse 6. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So we see, basically, Paul is saying this: I'm ready to die. I'm ready to be offered up. Won't be long while I'm sitting here in this prison in Rome. It won't be long when they will take me, and they'll take me to the chopping block, and they'll lay me over that, and they'll take a sword or the cleaver, and they'll chop off my head. It won't be long when I'll be put to death for the cause of Christ. Paul knows he's going to die. And he says, my departure, that departure to be with Christ, is at hand. So in 2 Timothy, we see it's a letter to the church, basically, or about the ministry of the church from the pastor's point of view. It's a pastoral epistle. He's writing this second letter to Timothy, and he calls him my son in the faith, one of Paul's converts. It's the very last epistle that Paul writes before he dies, last epistle he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit before he dies. And he writes it as he knew that his departure to be with Christ was at hand. Now Paul writes this letter to Timothy. And he has basically two thoughts in mind, or two basic broad purposes in mind when he writes 2 Timothy. First of these, look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, look in verse 9. He says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Also look in verse 21 of chapter 4. "Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren." So he says to Timothy, Paul's here in prison. He's in ready to die. He's ready to be beheaded for the cause of Christ. And he writes to Timothy, and he says, "Timothy, come to me quickly." He says, matter of fact, "Get to me before winter comes in. Come to me." So he writes to Timothy and says, "Timothy, I want you to come. I'm ready to die. It won't be long, and I'm going to be put to death. My departure is at hand. Come to me." It's interesting that Paul asked for Timothy now to come to him. Look in chapter 4 and read down from there. Look in verse 10. He says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now notice, here's Paul, one of the great Christians that's ever lived, the man that God has used to write much of the New Testament, and here's Paul ready to die. Now he's led hundreds of people to the Lord, but now who's with him in his dying day? Who's there standing with him? We say, well, here's Paul, the great Christian. Certainly there's hundreds of people that have rallied around Paul there while he's in prison. No. Well, Paul, the great Christian and the great preacher, certainly now that he's ready to die and now that he's in trouble, certainly there will be many people that will be there to his help and to his comfort. No. Notice who's there with Paul. He says, "Only Luke is with me." By the way, when you're in trouble, you find out who your friends are, too. You get in trouble, you'll find out who your friends are. Paul says, "I'm getting ready to die. I'm put in prison. Not many want to bear the reproach of Christ with me." He says, "Only Luke is with me. Timothy, won't you come? Only one I got with me right now is Luke. He's the only one. Timothy, why don't you come? And why don't you bring Mark with me, with you, to me?" So he says, first of all, "Come to me." And he writes to Timothy to ask him to come to him in his dying hours. And then he says, "The only associate that I have left with me now is Luke." The second thing he writes this letter for, first of all, to have Timothy come. Secondly, look in 2 Timothy chapter 1, look in verse 15. Oh no, the clock grabber has come, has returned. Oh, okay, that you can have it. As long as I know where it's at. I thought, man, we've been robbed again. How many times have we had clocks stolen from this place? And 2 Timothy chapter 1, look in verse 15. It says, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes." He says, these fellows have turned away from me. Look in chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Look in verse 16. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Look in chapter 2 and verse 23. It says, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." Look in chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Notice in these verses we've read, there's several descriptions of those that have turned from the truth. We call these apostates. Now, apostate is not somebody that did not know the truth. An apostate is somebody who knows the truth and yet turns from the truth. That's the danger right there. The danger is not those that have never known the truth that don't live the truth. The danger is those who have learned the truth and have turned away from the truth. And that's what he's talking about right here. He's saying, Timothy, now be careful. There are many that have turned away from the truth. They've heard the preaching. They've known the truth. Yet they've turned from the truth. Watch out, Timothy. Look also in chapter 4, verse 14. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. There's Paul, the great preacher, great godly man, the great Christian. He said, now here are those that have withstood our words. We've preached the truth, and there are those that have heard the truth, and yet have turned from the truth. Beware of those. And here's what he's saying now, Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, you be sure that you stay faithful to the truth. I don't care if everybody else turns from the truth. You be faithful to the truth. And so the first thing he writes is, come to me. Secondly, he says, be faithful. Many had forsaken the truth. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to be faithful to the truth. He is saying, Timothy, there be those who have known the truth and will turn from the truth. They'll preach another doctrine. They'll preach another word. But you be faithful no matter what. If everybody else turns from the truth, you be faithful. Remember back in 1 Timothy. Turn back to 1 Timothy again. Let me give you a little reminder here from last week. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 6, he said, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now notice the word in verse 6, some having swerved. Look in verse 19. He said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymeneus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Notice the word, some have put away concerning the faith. Look in chapter 5, verse 14 says, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So he said there's some that have turned aside. Look in chapter 6. And verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 21, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. We looked at those verses last week in 1 Timothy, and we saw that some had turned away. Some had turned from the faith. Some had turned from the doctrines of the Word of God. Some had turned from the truth. Yet it even goes into the ladies. Some have left the home now. They're not any longer guiding the home, not taking care of the children. Some have gone aside. And he said, some have turned to money. Some have gone away. So he said, some have left the truth. Now look in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. All have turned away from me. Look in chapter 4, verse 16. See, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. 1 Timothy, Paul says, now some have turned away from the truth. Now Paul writes this to Timothy and says, all have forsaken me. They've all turned away from my words. Do you realize that there's sometimes in the Christian life you're just going to have to stand alone? Sometimes you're just going to have to take the promise of the Word of God and just believe God's Word if nobody else believes it. Just stay with the truth. Don't look for the majority. You just go with the Word of God, whether the majority goes with the Word of God or not. When it comes to the Bible, the majority doesn't rule. God rules. Don't you follow the majority. The majority are ruining their lives. Follow the Word of God. God's Word is true. I didn't say it was popular, but it's true. I didn't say everybody was going to do it, but it's still true. I didn't say everybody was going to like it, but it's still true. The Word of God is true today. Paul said, all have forsaken me. What we're looking for is we're looking for the majority. Say, well, if the majority believes that, it must be right. By the way, you check the Bible and you'll find out what the majority is doing. The Bible says, wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. You know where that's leading to? Hell. That's where the majority is going. The Bible says, narrow is the gate, and straight is the way, and few there be that go in thereat. You know where that's heading? Heaven. If you want to follow the majority, you'll end up in hell. But you follow the majority, you go by God's Word. If you're the only one, you go by God's Word. You say, well, my family doesn't understand. Well, bless God, go by the Word of God. Say, well, my friends, they don't understand. Doesn't matter. You've got the responsibility of going and obeying the Word of God. Well, preacher, if I obey this book right here, I'll lose some friends. Yeah, but you'll gain eternity. Well, I'll lose my job. Yeah, but you'll gain God's blessings. Well, I'll lose all I've got. You'll gain far more. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You may lose some things here in this earth, but you can't take them to heaven with you. And you're far better off giving up what you can't keep to get what you can't lose. Rewards in heaven and eternal life. So, well, folks just don't understand. People will persecute you. Oh, bless your heart. We really got it rough in America, don't we? We think if somebody laughs at us, we're being persecuted. So, you're one of those old fuddy-duddies. We sit in our home all day long and cry about that, don't we? Bless God, there's places in this world where people are being put to death for believing this book right here. And you read some books like Fox's Book of Martyr that have seen the hundreds and thousands that have gone on before to make a stand on this book right here, and we pussyfoot around America trying to make everybody happy. Bless God, we better just get down to business again. Paul's saying they've all forsaken me. And we cry and bellyache because people make fun of us. And people persecute and people slam doors in our face. And we've got it so rough, don't we? Oh, bless our heart. Paul said, I'm in Rome getting ready to have my head chopped off for the cause of Christ, but there's laid up in heaven a crown for me. He said, I may lose my life, but there's something I'm going to gain that nobody can take away, and that I'll have for all of eternity. Our sight is so short, isn't it? All we can see is just bread on the table tomorrow. We have a hard time seeing what's going to happen for all of eternity. And wise is a person that sets his sights on what's going to be after we die, and what's going to happen to us after death, and what are we going to have for eternity. And wise is the man that'll set his sights on eternity and not just set his sights on whether somebody laughs at him today for the cause of Christ. By the way, it's still right I don't have a lot of people laughing at us, but bless God if you do. Go ahead and obey the Word of God anyway. Folks want to persecute you, go ahead and read the Word of God and study the Word of God and obey the Word of God anyway. Just do right, according to the Word of God. Here's Paul writing to Timothy now. Paul's ready to die and says, Timothy, come to me. And then he says, Timothy, you be faithful. They've all turned aside from me, but you just be, don't you turn aside. Everybody else has, but don't you. Don't you listen to what everybody else says. You stick with this word right here that's been preached. So he writes to Timothy and tells him basically those two things. And then he gives him several challenges in the book of 2 Timothy to stay faithful. You can say basically this book of 2 Timothy is just a challenge to Timothy. Paul's saying, be faithful, and here's some things that'll keep you faithful. Here's a list of things and some challenges to you, Timothy. And if you'll take these challenges and you'll do these things, you can be faithful to me and faithful to the Word of God. Look at these, some of these challenges here. I've listed 10 of them. First of all, in chapter 1, verse 6. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. The first thing he said to Timothy, he said, now remember. And he said, what you need to do, Timothy, to keep faithful, what you need to do is stir up the gift of God that is in you. So, Timothy, remember back when we put our hands upon you and you were ordained as a preacher? Remember when we prayed over you? Remember the gift of God that God has given to you as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Remember that and stir up that gift. Amen. First thing you do is just stir up that gift. God's done some things in your life. God's called you to a purpose. Every once in a while, all you need to do is just get stirred up about it. Say, bless God, I'm saved. Get stirred up about it. Stir up the gift that's in you. If you're born again, you're not going to hell, and nothing can take you to hell. You're going to heaven, and nothing can keep you from heaven. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Get stirred up about your salvation and the gift of God that's in you. Stirred up. He says, Timothy, if you're going to be faithful, you just better get stirred. Remember how it was when you got saved? Get stirred up. Remember how it was when you got called? Get stirred up. Remember how it was when we laid our hands upon you? Get stirred up. Just remember those things that God's done in your life and get stirred up about it. Amen. And serve God. That's one challenge he gave to you. Get stirred up. If you can't get stirred about your salvation, you're already dead anyway. If you're not glad that you're going to heaven and missing hell, then there ain't no hope for you anyway. Get stirred up. Get stirred up about what God has done, the gift of God that's in you. Look in verse 8. Second challenge he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. He says, first of all, be stirred up of the gift of God in you. Second, he says, be not ashamed. Be not ashamed. We got a lot of Christians today that want to be Secret Service Christians. They want to go incognito. I mean, if somebody asks for an identification badge, maybe they'll show it. But other than that, man, they don't want anybody to know they're saved. They don't want to dress like they're saved. Don't want to talk like they're saved. Don't want to act like they're saved. You better watch out. You might get shot by your own man. Say, well, the Christian army is the only one that shoots their own. That's because a lot of times we don't know which one is our own. You might get shot by your own. Can you imagine? If you were in a battle, and you wore the uniform of the enemy. You wore the uniform of the enemy. You know what's going to happen to you? Your own people are going to shoot you. That's what's going to happen to you. We hear people all the time saying, well, bless God, the Christians are always shooting on. Well, bless God, we're just trying to shoot the enemy. We don't know which ones are ours. The way they dress nowadays, the uniforms are wearing, can't tell which is ours. Shoot them all. And what we need to do is start wearing the uniform and be not ashamed. You a Christian? Well, I guess you could say that. Well, if you get right down to it, I guess so. Have you ever been born again? Well, I don't know if you'd go quite that far. But I believe in Jesus. You're a real soldier of the cross, aren't you? And that's how we are. Many Christians are today. Bless God, you got to, if you hold a gun to their throat and tell them, bless God, are you Christian or not? I want to know. Well, if you're going to shoot me, okay, I'll tell you. What we need to do is not be ashamed. He's saying, Timothy, if you're going to be faithful, first of all, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Listen. live like a Christian, talk like a Christian, walk like a Christian, wear the uniform of a Christian, be a Christian, act like a Christian. Don't be ashamed. What we ought to do if we're going to be faithful, if we ought to just not be ashamed.
Amen.
Somebody comes up to you and says, had many times, sit in a restaurant, we pray before we eat in the restaurant. Somebody comes up to us and says, boy, I've never had somebody come up to me and say, well, you're a real nut, man, praying here in this restaurant. I've had probably dozens of people that have come up to me and said, boy, I really appreciate you praying in the restaurant like that. We're Christians, too, and we really appreciate you doing that. I've had that happen dozens of times. Well, not dozens of times. I haven't eaten in restaurants dozens of times, but I had dozens of times we've had folks come up and say that to us after praying. Before we eat. And bless God, we pray before we eat at home. May as well pray before you eat in the restaurant too. Go ahead and pray. Don't be ashamed of the cause of Christ. Be not ashamed. So he says, Timothy, stir up the gift of God. Timothy, be not ashamed. Look at verse 13. I'm going to go ahead and preach on every one of these. We'll never get through it. Verse 13 says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He said, now, Timothy, what you need to do is you need to hold fast that form of sound word. Hold fast those words that you've heard. Hold fast to those. If you heard it and it was true and you believed it by faith, 5 years from now, bless God, it's still true. You need to just hold fast to those things. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. Hold fast. I didn't say it's going to be easy holding fast. The philosophy of the world has crept into the churches today and crept into the lives of Christians today and crept into families today, and it's hard to stick by the words of God today.
Yeah.
But you just hold fast. Hold fast. Bless God, just grab on and hold on like a bulldog and don't let go. Hold fast the word of God. And that's what we need to do today. Just hold fast. And hold on while you're holding fast. Hold fast the word of God. Look in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong. There's something better than strength of lifting a couple barbells over your head. You know that? Now, I'm not against that. When I was a football coach, they better be lifting those barbells over their head, but there's something more important than that. When I was a football coach, we had those young people out there. Man, we'd drill them. We'd run them. We'd run them to death. We'd kill them. We'd beat them to death playing football. Man, we'd get them across from each other. We'd tell them, you know, hit each other and kill each other and everything else in the world, trying to get them toughened up. I just talked to a football coach down in Windsor Hills, where I used to coach down there, and he asked me, I said, look, I'll give you basically two ways to win football games. Two things to do to win football games. We won every year down there, had winning seasons, and after the first year when we killed them to get them tough. And he said, two things will win football games for you. Number one, get those fellas to like to hit. They've got to like to hit. If you can get them liking hitting, and number two, get them liking soul winning, you'll win football games. Say, preacher, what does soul winning have to do with playing football? There's more to being strong than lifting barbells and hitting heads. There's a strength that comes, a spiritual strength, that's harder to get than a physical strength.
Yeah.
I said, if you'll get those guys to like to hit and get them to like to win souls, you'll win football games. There's a strength that's far greater than a physical strength. And it's a harder strength to get as a spiritual strength. You can lift barbells and you can't say no to booze and you ain't got no strength. You're a stinking sissy. If you can lift barbells and you can't say no to rock music, then you're a stinking sissy. If you can run 100 miles in 5 minutes a mile, that's pretty good, by the way. If you can do that, then you ought to sign up for the Olympics. If you can do that, and you can't say no to lust, then you're a stinking sissy. The Bible says, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. So Well, preacher, I'm strong. Let's see you. Let's see you walk around and act like... I'll tell you something that's harder to do than lifting barbells. You act like a Christian. You try doing that all week long. You try saying no to sin all week long. You try to read your Bible every day. You try to pray every day. You try to go soul winning faithfully. You try to be a good witness to people. You try doing that for a week and talk to me next week. See how you did. You find out there's some strength involved there. You know what Paul's saying to Timothy? He's saying, Timothy, you better be strong. Because there are going to be some temptations going to come along. And if you're not strong, you'll be like a little sissy and get into every little temptation that comes along. Well, there's a bottle of beer. Guess I better drink it. There's a cigarette. Guess I better smoke it. There's some rock music. Guess I better listen to it. Bless God, you need some strength. Young people in the front, look up here. Talking to you too. You need some strength. You're going to listen, bless God. Need some strength. Any sissy can fool around in church. Get some strength. Listen. So, preacher, I thought this was a Bible study. It is. I just get stirred up in my Bible studies. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Says, be thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So, Timothy, it's not all going to go your way. Bless God, don't sit down and cry about it and throw a fit. Jump up and down, cuss and throw a fit. Bless God, just endure hardness. Endure hardness. Look at verse 15, chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, Timothy, if you're going to stay faithful, you've got to study the word of God. You've got to study. You've got to study. Study the word of God. So I just don't understand the word of God. How often have you studied the word of God? The Bible is not going to come out and hit you over the head. You're going to have to study it. Study. Look at chapter 2, verse 22. It says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. It says, flee also youthful lusts. Preacher, I don't like these kind of Bible studies. It's Bible. It's true, and it's what America needs today. Flee youthful lusts. You know how you can see somebody's maturing? Not because they turn 18. You see them maturing when they can start fleeing youthful lusts. There's some 8-year-olds that are more mature than a lot of our teenagers are. They don't need to fool around with youthful lusts. Flee youthful lusts. Look in verse 14 of chapter 3. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Number 8, continue in the things you've learned. Say, well, that's old-fashioned. Bless God, we better keep doing it. It's what brought America where it is and kept America strong for 200 years, and now we throw it all out the tube and say, bless God, let's do it different now. Amen. We'll end up like every other country in the world. God bless this nation for one reason, because we did those things that God said to do when it was founded. We need to continue in the things you've learned. Look in chapter 4, verse 2. It says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He says, preach the word. Part of that preaching the word is reproving. Part of that preaching the word is rebuking. Part of preaching the word is exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said, Timothy, if you're going to be faithful, you need to preach the word. Just preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Don't you sidestep the issues. Preach the word. Don't you sidestep the things that people don't like to hear? Preach the word. Don't you preach just what people want to hear? You preach the word. Whether people like it or not, whether it steps on toes or not, whether it builds churches or not, preach the word. Preach the word. Well, God, I'm glad there's somebody like this. Chapter 4, verse 5. You keep amen and I'll keep preaching. Chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. It says, watch thou in all things. Watch thou in all things. You better watch out. You watch for things. Things will come up. Man, temptations will come along. Everything in the world will come along. Satan will come along. Satan in his subtlety to try to get you. You better watch. Better watch out. He said, now, Timothy, if you're going to stay faithful, you're going to have to stir up the gift of God in you. You can't be ashamed. You have to hold fast the form of sound doctrine. You've got to be strong. Endure hardness. Study. Flee youthful lust. Continue in the things you've learned. Preach the word. And watch thou in all things. He said, Timothy, I want you to come to me, and I want you to be faithful. He says, Timothy, I want you to be here when I die. I want you to be here these last few days that I live upon this earth. I want you to be here. Paul, in verse 12, sends Tychicus down to Ephesus, where Timothy had been pastor. So now Timothy can come to be with Paul. And Paul says, I'm about to pass off the scene. I've started to work here. I've gone about exhorting people, preaching the word of God. I've been faithful to the word of God. I've been thrown in prison for it. I'll be put to death for it. I've been beaten for it. I've gone through many hardships for it. I've gone without food for it. I've been shipwrecked over it. I've gone through a lot of hardship preaching the word of God. He said, now, Timothy, I'm going to pass off the scene. I'm going to need somebody that's going to continue doing the work that I did right here. Timothy, it's not always going to be good. Everybody's forsaken me. They've all forsaken me. Only one I got left here is Luke. I'm not giving you a job that's going to be full of glory. I'm not going to give you a job where everybody's going to come and pat you on the back. I'm going to give you a job that's full of hardship. People aren't going to understand you. They're not going to like your preaching. They're not going to jump up and down. They're not going to like it all the time. But there's sometimes you're just going to have to learn to stand alone. Learn to stand alone. Don't just go with the crowd. Don't just go with what everybody else is doing. Say, well, here's what Christianity stands for today. Well, bless God, what's Christianity stand for in the Word of God? And what's it going to stand for when we stand before God?
Amen.
We need to stick with the Word of God. We need some Christians that are going to be faithful. We live in some days of apostasy. People that have known the truth, yet have turned from the truth. We need some folks like Timothy that Paul exhorts them to just be faithful. Just be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Timothy, I want you to continue the work that I've started. There's going to be times when you're going to have to stand alone, but be faithful. I think you've basically got the outline or basically got the theme of the book all figured out. It's simply this. Be faithful. Be faithful. Just be faithful to the truth. Be faithful to the Word of God. Be faithful. Don't bring in philosophies of men. Be faithful to the Word of God. Sound words, doctrines, be faithful to the truth. By the way, we've got the truth today. Still got it, just like Timothy had it, just like Paul had it, just like Charles Spurgeon had it, just like Billy Sunday had it, just like D.L. Moody had it, just like Charles Wesley and John Wesley had it. We've still got the truth in 1989. Still got the same truth. All we need to do is just stay faithful to that truth right there. Stay faithful. I don't care how bad it gets. I don't care what America does. I don't care what happens in the world today. We'll be faithful to the Word of God. God's Word is true. God will always honor His Word. Be faithful. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father,